Okay. So we are in our text, chapter 8, Sefer Shoftim, Sefer Shmuel Aleph, sorry. And we began to discuss last week the topic of how the Jewish people asked for a king. Before we get back to that topic, I just want to go back to one point from the very first pasuk, which actually I think someone brought up last week, which is that in the first pasuk it says that Shmuel was old. So the very first pasuk said by Yehi Kasher Zaken Shmuel, and it was when Shmuel got old and he appointed his children as shoftim. So someone pointed out that, you know, Shmuel died when he was only 52. So, you know, he can't be that old that it should prevent him from doing his job as shofet. I said, no, still it could get hard to travel as you age. So there's actually a Gemara that the Gemara says, the Gemara says, Amar Lei Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, my ditzniv I need kasher zaken Shmuel. What does it mean that it says that it was when Shmuel got old? And the Gemara asks this question, was Shmuel so old? He only died when he was 52. So how old could he was? He couldn't have been that old. So the Gemara says, Kach Yam Rav Yochanan, Zikna Kafta Alav, which literally means old age jumped on him. That he suddenly became elderly. And then it brings an interesting story. It says that after, right, Shmuel is going to appoint Shaul to be the king. It's not going to work out so well. And Hashem is going to say, Nichamti kim lachti Shaul. I regret appointing Shaul. I believe that that's Hashem's statement. Let me just verify that. Shmuel. Aleph, Tetzvav. Yeah. I mean, here it says Hashem Nicham Kim Lichashal. I don't have to, it's a long parrot, but Hashem regrets having made Shaul the king. So the Gemara says that Shmuel turns to him and he says, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Shikaltani ki Moshe ve'Aaron, you equated me to Moshe and Aaron. Because it says, we say in Kabbalah Shabbos, Moshe ve'Aaron b'cho'anov, u'Shmuel b'korei Shmo. That we mention Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel all in the same breath, equating them. So Shmuel said, just like Moshe and Aaron, lo batlu ma'aseh yadayim b'chayayim, that their appointees, their successors, lasted after them. They didn't see their successors, lose their position, meaning Yoshua, who took over for Moshe, outlived Moshe, and Aaron's son, Elazar, also outlasted Aaron. So Shmuel said, Afani, lo yisbatu ma'aseh yadayi b'chayayi. Also, my product, Shaul, should not come to an end during my lifetime. So Hashem said, so what am I going to do? The Gemara says, Hei chiyavid, leimu Shaul, if I kill Shaul, well, Shmuel's telling me that, Shmuel won't let me. Shmuel's saying that he wants me to let Shaul live. If I kill Shmuel, so if he dies young, then people are going to say that it was because of his sin. So, and if I don't kill Shaul or Shmuel, well, says Hashem, it's time for Malchus Beis David. It's their turn. So Hashem said, Akpitz Olav Zikna. I will allow old age to jump on him, to creep up on him. And that way, he won't look young, he'll look old, and then when he dies a little bit younger, people won't, say, oh, he must have had Averos, because they won't realize how young he was, because he looked older than he was. People will assume that he was older. That was the solution, and that's why Shmuel aged quickly. He looked much older than he was. So, here's the problem with this Gemara. Big problem, right? Where are we right now? It says, and Shmuel was old. So, according to this story, when did Shmuel get old? According to this story, it's the way that the Gemara says it, is, old age jumped on him after this whole discussion. After Shaul was appointed, and Shaul messed up, and Hashem was going to take Shaul's life, and Shmuel said, no, don't, Hashem said, so what am I going to do? If I kill Shaul, then you don't want me to. If I kill you, people are going to complain. That you died young because you had a virus. So I'm going to make you look old. So this all happened, according to this Gemara, after Shaul was appointed, and Shaul was, didn't work out. And here, because here it says, and Shmuel was old before they even asked for a king. They're about to ask for a king. It's going to say, and Shmuel was old, therefore he wasn't able to, seems like, to judge. So he appointed his, the Gemara should have been able to figure this out, right? This is an obvious question, right?
Yeah.
That this is all before he appoints Shaul as the king.
Right.
So how do we understand this Gemara? So the Marsha asked this question, and the Marsha, his first conclusion is, just based on the order of the psukim, that maybe we have to say that just like we say in Chumash, Ein Muktam U'Muuchar B'Torah, that things in Chumash are out of order. So the Marsha says, it seems we have to say that for Navi as well. Because the Gemara is assuming that this event happened, after Shaul was appointed. But the Marsha says there's a problem with that. That's not really going to work here. Because here there's a context thing. It's saying that Shmuel got old, and that's why he appointed his sons as the judges, and that they weren't good judges. That's why the people came and asked for a king. So the story is not going to work to say that it's out of order.
It ignores cause and effect.
Exactly. So the Marsha leaves off with Tarachian. He says, I don't know. I don't know what to do about this. The Sfas Emes suggests an answer. The Sfas Emes says, and I think it involves what we call lav davkaing the Gemara a little bit, learning the Gemara not exactly as as it seems. He says that his basic answer is that, I think, as I understand it, is that Hashem anticipated, Hashem knowing the future anticipated this event, was aware that this was going to happen, and so already from, from well before, Hashem made Shmuel start to get old younger, so it wouldn't be sudden. The way that he says it, he says, certainly there are some tzaddikim who die, sort of at a younger age. The problem is that if he dies, if he looks very young, and then he dies suddenly, it looks like it was a sudden death. It wasn't that he reached his time. If a person dies young, just our, right, if we think about it, we understand that a person might die young because that was their allotted time. But that's not how we relate to it usually. We really, right, people say, why did he die young? Why do bad things happen to good people? The simple answer is that, who says this is a bad thing? Maybe that was his allotted lifespan from the very start, that this was what was meant for him already. You know, he didn't do anything wrong, but he was only meant to live 25, 30, 50 years, right? But the way that people relate to that is in this way that they say, oh, he died young, you know, he was taken early, he must have done something wrong, what did he do wrong? So therefore, says the Sfas Emes, as long as he would look older, so then people would assume that, you know, he had reached his time. And so therefore, he says it's possible that from a very young age already, Hashem adjusted his chemical balance so that, his chemical makeup, so that he would age faster. And when he reached this age, he already looked old, even though he was, in fact, only 52 when he passed on. Okay. The reason I say it involves Lav Davka-ing the Gemara a little bit, reading the Gemara a bit inexactly, is because the word the Gemara uses is Kafta Olav Zikna, which means it jumped on him. You know, that it looks like it was a sudden thing, the Gemara seems to say, that he got old. So Emes is learning that it happened slowly. Okay, back to the story at hand. So let's jump ahead again to Pasuk Hey and read from there again. Vayomru Elav, and the people, they gathered to Shmuel, and they said, Hinei ata zakanta, behold, you have aged, uvanecha lahochu b'drachecha, and your children have not gone in your ways. Ata, now, sima lanu melech l'shaseinu kechol agayim, give us the king, appoint us the king to judge us like all the nations. Vayera hadabar be'enei Shmuel, and this matter was very bad in the eyes of Shmuel, kasher amru, when they said, tina lanu melech l'shaseinu, give us the king to judge us. Vayisal Shmuel Hashem, and Shmuel davened to Hashem. So we started to touch on the question last week of what exactly did the people do wrong. It seems there's a mitzvah in the Torah to appoint a king. It says, and you'll say, when you come to land, and you'll say, I'll appoint for me a king. So we're going to see later, it seems to be a machlokas, a dispute in the Gemara, whether that's a mitzvah or that's just a statement of events, of prophecy, that you will ask for a king. But, assuming for now that it is a mitzvah, so the question then is going to be, what did they do wrong in asking for a king? So, yeah. It says like all the nations. Good.
That's supposed to be like all the nations.
Right. So we that was one possibility, and that's definitely one of the ideas that many of the Mefarshim go on, because they said like all the nations. It happens to be, we pointed out last week, that in the Pasuk in Shoftim, when it talks, in Parsha Shoftim, in the Torah, when it talks about pointing king, it also says Kechol Agayim, that you'll say, Yosim Alai Melech Kechol Agayim, like all the nations. So we mentioned that the Ramban says that again may just be like a prediction of how you're going to ask for it, but it's not an instruction that's the proper way to ask for it. So this was one of the ideas we mentioned last time, was that the problem was this desire to be like the other nations. You mentioned the Radak. The Radak... that in the Radak says there was a lack of bitachon. We mentioned the Rambam. I think I mentioned the Rambam. He says that the problem was that they, and this is based on the Gemara, that they did it in like a complaining way. If they were doing it for the mitzvah, the Radak seems to be saying a similar thing. Had they said, we have a mitzvah when we come to Eretz Yisrael to appoint the king, we want to do the mitzvah. So then that would have been okay. But the way that they said it was, you know, you're no good for us, and your children are no good for us, and it was, as Gemara says, b'derech ha'arom, it was like in a complaining way. It didn't seem that they were doing it for the sake of the mitzvah, but for ulterior motives. There's a very interesting Kli Yakar in Parsha Shoftim that touches on this question. Why did Shmuel have tainas? Why did he complain? What was wrong with the request for a king, if indeed it's a mitzvah? The Kli Yakar says that the purpose of the king, as the Gemara says, is she'te'emoso alecha, that his fear should be upon you. The king is supposed to be like this authoritative, awe-striking figure that's supposed to push us in the right direction, to do the right thing, to follow Hashem's ways. And that's why it says in Parsha Shoftim, when it says how to ask for a king, it says, asima alai melech. We should appoint a king. I want to appoint a king on me, over me. You know, this authoritative figure over me. That's how the mitzvah, to appoint a king. And as the Gemara says, "Shetemoso alecha," his fear should be upon you. Not for judging, but for the establishment of the country and for to guide people in Derech HaTorah. That is the purpose. That's the way to do it. However, they didn't say, let's point a king on us, upon us. They said, in this pasuk, hey, Sima Lanu Melech, give us a king. It should be for us, you know, for us to do what we want with him, basically. They didn't say Aleinu, they didn't say place a king upon us, they said give us a king. Give us a king. And he says, right, the reason why they say it, they didn't want to accept his fear, his yoke, his authority upon them. Rather, he should be in our hands. To appoint him, to impeach him, it should be in our hands, you know, our king, our puppet, basically, to do what we want with him. What will happen as a result? We'll be able to, you know, to flatter him, to bribe him, to do, you know, to direct him, as is our wish. Because if he doesn't listen to us, he's our king. We'll get rid of him. So that's also why they said they wanted him to judge them, right? Shmuel was doing a great job judging. Okay, Shmuel was retired, but Shmuel could have, they could have asked for Shmuel, you know, they could have said, Shmuel, we don't like your sons judging us. We want you to judge us again. But no, they said they want the king to judge us. Why? Because they were going to control him. They were going to appoint, they wanted him to be in their hands, like their puppet. They were going to appoint him, they were going to impeach him when they wanted to, and that way he would own up to them. He would bow to their desires. He says, as an aside, he says, you find in some kehilas, in some congregations, a terrible thing. They give the rabbi a contract. He says, you can't get, you know, the rav has to be appointed, you know, without risk of risking his position if he'll do something that the congregants don't want. That's the job of the rav, is to guide people, is to strike fear into people, to be this authoritative figure over the congregation. But if they could just fire him, you know, if he's in a contract, and if he, you know, they won't renew his contract if he's too stark for them, and his demands are too high. So that defeats the whole purpose, he says. Then he's not going to be able to say things the way it is. He's not going to be able to guide you, because you'll reject him if he gives you muster, or if he tells you to do something that you don't want to do. So you'll say, oh, we want a different rabbi instead. So there's a lot of discussion about the, you know, whether in halacha, whether, I think Rabbi Grossman gave a shiur on it, whether a rabbi should have a contract or not. But the Kli Yakar says, you know, this minog of these lands that they accept the rav for a certain time, that his emoso won't, his fear won't be upon them. He says, and Adarab, on the contrary, emosam al-arab, their fear is on him. And therefore he has to flatter them so that they don't fire him. So that's a terrible thing. And that's what the people were asking for here, was that the king should be their puppet to do what they want. And so the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Vav, Vayera hadavar b'enei Shmuel, and it was very bad in the eyes of Shmuel, kasher amru tno lanu melech, when they said, give us a king to be our puppet, it's to be our king, to do what we want with him. That was what was bad in their eyes. And not only that, and it was shoftenu, to judge us. Because, again, they wanted this king to judge them so that they could control him. They could bribe him. They could he'd be in their hands. So that was bad in the eyes of Shmuel. And Hashem says to Shmuel in Pasuk Zayin, "Vayomer Hashem al Shmuel." And Hashem said to Shmuel, "Shma b'kolam." No, listen to them. L'chol asher yomer lecha, to everything that they say to you. Ki lo oscha ma'asu, because they haven't disgraced you, rejected you. Ki osima asu nimlo chaleyem, because they have disgraced me from ruling over them. Hashem says to Shmuel, according to the Kli Yakar, this isn't an insult to you, this is a compliment to you. They're saying, Shmuel, you're too stark on us, you're too strict with us, you have such high demands of us. You don't give in to our bribes, to our flattery. So that's why we want a king that we could control. So Hashem says, that's an insult to me, not to you. Because they're not asking, it's an insult to me, Hashem says, because they're not asking for it the way the Torah wants them to. That it should be aleihem, on them. That the king should be on them. And what's going to happen, we'll read the next psukim, but Hashem's going to say, just tell them what will happen if they have a king. And Shmuel is going to lay out all these terrible things that will happen if they have a king. And then he's going to say, do you still want the king? And if we just jump ahead for a second to Pasuk Yud Tes, verse 19. So after Shmuel is going to tell them all the terrible things that will happen if they have a king, it says, Vayimanu ha'am lishma b'kol Shmuel, and they refused to listen to Shmuel. Vayomru lo, and they said no. Ki imelech yie oleinu, we'll have a king on us. So here, they turned around and they said oleinu. They said on us, which is the way that they're supposed to ask for it. The Kli Yakar says that they said no, meaning they were confessing. They said, you're right. We no longer want it the way that we asked for it at first. Rather, we are going to ask you for it in the proper way. Let there be a king on us. And that was the proper way to ask. Yeah. That is the Kli Yakar approach to this this episode. Kli Yakar is learning. The problem was that they wanted to control the king. They said, no, Lord, give us the king. They should have said, aleinu, on us. And in the end, they actually changed. They confess, they do tshuva, and they ask for the king in the proper way, that it should be aleinu, it should be on us. Shetei emaso alecha, that his fear should be upon you. That's the proper way to ask for a king. Okay. Just point out a couple of other ideas that are highlighted by the Malbim in terms of these episodes. What was wrong with it? The Malbim focuses on this idea that this is an idea that's discussed by the Ramban in Chumash in a number of places, that a person's the amount of his shtadlus, the amount of physical, personal effort a person has to put in, correlates to the level of bitachon that person has, the amount of trust that person has in Hashem. And the more that one trusts in Hashem, the less hishtadlus the person needs. The less the person trusts in Hashem, and the more hishtadlus, the more personal effort that they have to put in. So, the Ramban invokes this by the Meraglim. That the Meraglim said, right, the Bnei Yisrael said, we want to send spies into the land because we want to, you know, we want to figure out how to conquer the land. So the Ramban says, you know, it's very normal to send spies ahead. But the problem is they didn't really need to, because Hashem had promised that he would fight for them and that they would be victorious in a miraculous way. However, once they asked to send spies into the land of Israel, which showed that they didn't have to be talking in Hashem, they didn't trust in Hashem, so at that point now they indeed did need spies. They did need to figure out how to conquer, because they would have to conquer it, you know, through their own physical strength. Because once their tachon went down, then the need for hishtadlus, the need for effort, for personal effort, personal investment goes up. So that's an idea that's relevant here, the way that the Malbim set things up. That here, Shmuel was the shofet, Shmuel was the Navi. And they were in a position to rely on Hashem, and they had been. And in their last battle with the Plishtim, indeed they did win in a victorious way. And Hashem sent thunder and all sorts of miracles for them in a miraculous way. They did earn victory against the Plishtim in a miraculous way. But now they're asking for a king. They're going to say later, you know, to fight our wars. The Malbim says this wasn't necessary at this point. They had Shmuel. It wasn't necessary to ask for a king. The Malbim says they didn't need to rely on a king at this point. And that was the first problem. The second problem was,
Because the need hadn't appeared?
Because what?
Because the need hadn't appeared?
Right.
But war could come on them suddenly.
Well, in their previous battle, mentioned in the Navi at least, they won in a miraculous way. They won, in the last parak, they defeated the Plishtim,
with the noise.
Right, with the noise, the different Mayarim, Hashem, the Kol Gadol, Hashem made these stutter sounds. So, at this point, they're living in a situation where they should be just having to be talking to Hashem. They have a tzaddik of a Navi as their leader, Shmuel HaNavi, and it's not necessary at this moment to ask for a king. And he says, the Malbim is interesting because what he's doing also is he's fitting it into different things in Chazal. That Chazal say, when Chazal discussed what was the problem with asking for a king, so one thing they say is they asked, it wasn't in the proper time. So the Malbim says, this is what it means. It's okay to ask for a king when it's needed, but this wasn't the time, because if you have Shmuel HaNavi as a shofet, then, and as we mentioned, I guess this gets into the question, you asked the question, yeah, but, you know, what are you going to do after Shmuel HaNavi, right? So I would say Shmuel was young, but you'll say, but Shmuel looked old. You may have been young, but you looked old. So, right, so it's a good question, you know, why can't, you know, they're just preparing for, maybe they should have asked it that, maybe the answer is they should have said, Shmuel, do you get a king lined up for after you passed away?
Why should they be relying on miracles?
So that's this idea that we don't rely on miracles, but we do have this concept of bitachon where, you know, Hashem will provide. If we're on that level of bitachon, then we don't need the hishtadlus.
They have rotten leaders, so why should they think they're on that level of bitachon at the moment?
I mean, they still have Shmuel HaNavi there. So again, I think it comes back to that they should have said, you know, we don't like your son. Could you just go back to being the leader? And, you know, I mean, he's still the leader, but could you just, you know...
If he couldn't even travel circuit, how could he lead them into war?
I don't know if they need him to lead them into war, as long as...
Well, that's what it says here. Fight our wars. Go forth and fight our wars.
Right, but it wasn't necessary, as long... You know, I don't think he was fighting the war against the Plishtim in the previous time around, either. You know, they have... When they're living in a special... There's a special hashgacha right now in the time of Shmuel. Hashem is personally involved with them in this, you know, l'malam in ateva, this above nature way. So at this point in time, there may be a time when it is the right time, but at this point in time, when you have Shmuel HaNavi as your leader, you don't need a king to fight your wars. Maybe they could have asked for. After you pass on, Shmuel, can you arrange for us to have a king? But at this moment in time, it wasn't necessary. That was the first problem. Second problem, he says, was there's an insult to Shmuel, because they said to judge us, that the king should be there to judge us. They could have just said, if they were just worried about, you know, being able to fight wars, they should have just said that. Why do they also say to judge us? That implies that there's something wrong with Shmuel's ability to judge, and that they need to replace him. I know what you're thinking. You're going to say, what do you mean? He wasn't able to travel.
Well, the show faith does not mean only judicial duties.
Right, no, so that's
political
what he's saying.
Duties.
No, but that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying, though, that they should have asked for a king to fight their battles, which they did, but not mention the part about judging them. What?
Yeah, but show faith.
No, but the verb, lishafein, in this context, I think it's, I don't know if there's a way to
lead.
I mean, clearly these people were judging, Vayatu Mishpat, you know, they...
In the same sense that kings were judges too, but they weren't primarily judges, they were political officers. That's why the JPS translation of the book of Shefti is chieftain. Really, it is. Chieftain. That's the way they translate it. Chieftain. They want a political military leader who will also be a moral leader as well. Oh, well. I think I'm going to stop talking, Rabbi.
All right. Then number three, the Farshim understand it to mean, you know, usually to mean judges. I think you're right that there is this dual aspect then. But when, at least when in verb tense, they assume that it means judges. And you see in the Pesukim that they definitely did that. Talks about their bending justice, etc. Right, by Yatsu Mishpat, from that Sharif, Mishpat, Shofi. And number three, that is something that we touched on before. He says number three was that when they asked for a king, Kifol HaGoyim, the Malbim says, they were asking... It seemed that they were asking for a king to judge them not in the ways of the Torah, but rather in the ways in his own laws that he would create. He actually, there's a very interesting line in the Malbim here. The way that he says it is, he says the appointment of a king could come in two ways. It could be that the king bends himself to the laws of the Torah and the mitzvot. As he says, "Kimosha Hayumalcha Yisrael Atadikim Mikedem," as the king of Israel, the righteous one from earlier, and then he says, "Umalcha Ha'amim Balei Hadas Bizmanenu," and the kings of the nations of the different religions in our time. He says, "Malbim lived, I think, in the sometime in the 19th century, but I guess I'm not sure if this is a you know, just didn't want to imply that the king in his country was you know, there was something wrong with him. He said, yeah, and like the king here nowadays in our time, they also judge based on, you know, the Bible and in a righteous way. He says that's one way to be the king. And then he says another type is a king who just makes his own laws. And he says that's how the nations did it back in the day, that the king would make his own laws. He says the Torah commands us that the king has to follow the laws of the Torah. Right? It says he's supposed to write himself a Torah, a Sefer Torah, the king. So he's supposed to have the Torah at his side at all times. And here they said, give us a king to judge us like the nations, meaning like the nations of their time, that they didn't follow the Torah. The kings were, you know, formulated their own sets of laws. And that was what they were asking for. And that was the problem, that they didn't want him to judge based on the Torah. So the way that they said it, as we saw, was again in Pasuke, Sima Lanamel Zashafteno Kichalagayim. Give us a king to judge us in two ways. So he says this could be read in two ways. Right? One way is as where you're saying it now, that they should judge us, not like in the ways of the Torah, but rather in the, you know, as all the, just like the other nations who just make up their own laws. And So Shmuel is insulted by this request that they don't want him to judge. So what's Hashem's response? Hashem says in Pasuk Zayin, "Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel," and Hashem says to Shmuel, "Shma b'kol ha'am, listen to the nation, l'chol asher yomer elecha, listen to all that they say to you," meaning listen to the end of their words as well. The end of their words was l'shafteinu k'chol hagoyim, to judge us like all the other nations. They're not rejecting you, Shmuel. Don't be insulted. They're not rejecting you because they don't think that you're a good judge. They're rejecting you because they want a king with a new set of laws who will, you know, who won't follow the Torah at all. It's nothing to do with you, Shmuel. It's not that there's anything wrong with you. They just don't want the Torah. Hashem says, "Ki osima asu mimaloch alem." They didn't insult you. Lo oschama asu. They didn't disgrace you. They're not insulting you. They're insulting me. Now they don't want the Torah. That's not. That has nothing to do with you, Shmuel. Okay. Then they go on. And this will be new reading. Pasuk Chet. Kechol ha-ma'asim asher asu miyom ha-alosi osam imitraim ad hayom hazeh. From all that I've done for them, all the deeds, the great things I've done for them from the day I brought them out of Mitzrayim until this day, Vayazvuni, and they've abandoned me. Vayavdu Elohim Achirim, and they've served other gods. King Hemo Sim Gamloch, so too they are doing to you. They are abandoning you. Hashem was saying, says the Malbim. This is a request to abandon me. They don't want the laws of the Torah. They don't want you to be their leader. They don't want the tzaddik. They don't want the special ashkacha. They're abandoning me. They want to be under teva, under nature. After all that I've done for them, still Vayavdu Elohim Acherim, right? They've served other gods, which means they are turning towards nature and other forms of you know, rather than direct hashkafa from Hashem, they turn to idol worship, to the god of this and the god of that, in order to get what they want. Right, that's what they're doing to you when they're rejecting you, Shmuel. It means that they're rejecting you because they don't want the special hashkacha that I would give them if you were the judge. And the Malam here, he says, Chazal say, again, another thing that Chazal say about this is that they wanted to serve Avodah Zarah. So it's not exactly that they were asking to go through Avodah Zarah, but they were rejecting the special relationship with Hashem, which is similar or tantamount to Avodah Zarah. Okay, so that was, according to the Malbim, three things they did wrong. They rejected, they didn't want Hashem's Hashkacha, the special Hashkacha, they were under Hashem's special Hashkacha, and instead they asked for a king, which wasn't necessary at that time. They rejected Shmuel as the judge, and they also asked to be judged, like the other nations, being not according to the Torah, and they were rejecting the Torah. Says Hashem, V'ata Shema B'kolam. And now, Shmuel, listen to their voice. Ach, except Ya'ei Ta'id Bahem. You should testify to them, you should explain to them, V'gatelem, and tell them, Mishpat HaMelech. Tell them the laws of the king, Asher Yimloch, Aleim, the laws of the king who will rule over them. So, now we're going to list a whole bunch of things that the king is going to do to them. He's going to take them as slaves and take their money and do all sorts of things. And we're going to see in my focus in the Gemara whether this list is actually within the right of the king or not to do these things, or it's just he's just trying to scare them. So we'll keep that in mind. Is the list actually, is it something the king's allowed to do, or is he just scaring them? What? And we find this also in the Mefarshim here. The Malbim says that this is a list of things that the king would do, but he's not allowed to do. And the Radak says the list is a list of things that he would do and then pay them for it, but force them to do it, but then pay them for it. So let's see the list. What's he going to do to them? Vayomer Shmuel is told divrei Hashem el ha'am, and Hashem, Shmuel told over all the words of Hashem to the nation, Hashalim eito melech, who were asking for a king from him. Vayomer, and he said, Zeh yiyem mishpat ha'melech. These will be the laws of the king Asher Yimloch aleichem, who will rule over you. Et b'neichem ikach, he will take your son, v'samlo v'merkavto v'farashav, and he'll place them on his chariot, and I think that's also chariots, two different kinds, I think. No?
There's cavalry here.
Cavalry? Okay, thank you. Okay, the Ratsu with Neymar Kapto, and also there'll be infantry who will run before his chariot. So three things. Some will drive the chariot, some will be horsemen, and some will be infantry. And to appoint for him officers of thousands and officers of fifties, the Lacharosh Harisho, and to plow his plowing, the Lixar Katiro, and to harvest his harvest, the Lasos Kle Milchamto, and to make his weapons, the Kle Rachbo, and his chariot, the items for his chariot. Vespinosechem ikach, and his daughters he will take, your daughters he will take, lirakochos, ulatabachos, ulaofos, for making spices, for making meat, and for baking. Vespidosechem, eskarmechem, eseisechem, atovim ikach, and his fields, and his vineyards, and his olive, what are olives growing?
Orchard.
The good ones he'll take. The nasang la'avadav, and he'll give it to his servant. The zarechem v'chamechem yasar, and his right and your plantings and your vineyards, he will take meister from. He'll take a tithe. In the previous pasuk it said that he would take the actual vineyards. That was talking about the good ones. Now even from the bad ones that he leaves for you, he will take a tithe. The nasang l'sarisa v'la'avadav, and he will give it to his sharecroppers and to his servants. Vesavdechem, vesivchosechem, vesbachurechem, hatovim, veschamorechem, yikach, and your servants, and your maidservants, and your lads, the good ones, and your donkeys, he will take, veasem ulachto, and he'll put them to work. Sonchem yasur, your sheep, he will tithe, veatem tiulo avadim, and you will be servants to him. So a whole list, basically he's going to take everything, you know, whatever he wants. Take you as slaves, he'll take your cattle, he'll take your animals, he'll take your vineyards, he'll take everything, whatever he wants, he's going to take from you. And you will cry out on that day before your king, Asher Bechartem Lachem, not to him, but like, you know, because of him, that you chose for yourself, this king that you asked for, he's going to give you all these sorrows, all these troubles, you're going to call out, the Lo Yane Hashem Eschem Bayom Ahu, and Hashem is not going to answer you on that day. That is the warning that that Hashem issues to him. Let's just finish up. Vayimanu ha'am l'shmua b'kol Shmuel, and the nation refused to listen to the voice of Shmuel. Vayomru lo, they said no, ki melech ye'aleinu, we want a king upon us. And here, there's something the parshim say, we mentioned the priyakr that they said on us, now they said the right way, the king should be over us. I think the Malbim also learns over here that they were now asking in the proper way for a king. And we will be like the other nations, Ushvatanu Malkeinu, and our king will judge us, meaning we'll, according to the Malbim, we'll have a king. So here they don't say he'll judge us like the other nations. They'll say we'll have a king like the other nations, and he'll judge us according to the Torah. So at this point they turned it around, and they didn't say he'll judge us like the other nations, but we'll have a king like the other nations, and he'll judge us. V'yatza lefanenu, and he'll go out before us, v'nilcham es milchamoseinu, and he'll fight our wars. Vayishma Shmuel es kol divrei ha'am, and Shmuel listened to all the words of the nation, vayidabrim ba'aznei Hashem, and he spoke them in the ears of Hashem. Vayomer Hashem al Shmuel, and Hashem said to Shmuel, Shema b'kolam, listen to their voice, v'imlachta lahamelech, and appoint a king for them. Vayomer Shmuel atzei Yisrael, and Shmuel said to the men of Israel, l'chu ish b'iro, each man to return to his city, and we will arrange that. All right.